Today I'm going to do a brief explanation of mantra. Mantra is Sanskrit term, meaning that which protects the mind from negativity. Just as the needs of sentient beings and their mental dispositions are countless, so too are the types of mantras, their meanings, their significance, and the manner of their recitation. Repeated with pure altruistic motivation, their benefit is immense, carrying with them the great blessings of enlightened beings. In Vajrayana Buddhism, which is also known as the secret mantra path, the mantras that we recite daily, such as Vajraguru mantra, Om Ahum Vedzanguru Pema Siddhi Hum, and the Mani mantra, Om Mani Peme Hum, are considered manifestations of the deities themselves, the embodiment of their very essence. Thus, as one recites the mantra, the particular deity, though imperceptible to the veiled eyes of ordinary beings, is present. By thus manifesting in mantra form, the deities become accessible to ordinary beings. Through the recitation of mantra, those who might otherwise be alienated from the deities are able to draw them near and receive their blessings. For this reason, we are taught to recite Vajraguru mantra with yearning devotion as the way to practice Guru Yoga. In this manner, we not only connect with Guru Paramasambhava, the father of Tibetan Buddhism and the archetypal embodiment of all gurus, and we receive his blessings, but we ultimately awaken our minds to his pure wisdom. The Mani mantra, Om Mani Peme Hum, is the essence of Avalokiteshvarava, the Buddha of compassion. It is said that he liberated infinite ignorant beings through these sacred sounds of his essence. And he particularly blessed this mantra to bestow his blessings on whoever recites or hears it. By the virtue of reciting the mantras properly, we receive the deity's blessings into our being, the healing of physical illness, and the calming of our minds follows. In fact, the mantras of enlightened beings have such immense transformative power that they can awaken individuals and bring them to enlightenment. So really, the bestowing of blessings that fulfill the day-to-day needs and wishes of those who recite mantra are among the more immediate benefits of the practice. Moreover, reciting mantra not only purifies past negative karma of speech, such as gossiping or using harsh words, but by training the mind and speech in virtue, helps prevent further accumulation of speech-related negative karma in the present. Mantra recitation brings blessing to one's future speech as well through the process of transformation. The prayers and even the ordinary wishes of great lamas for the welfare of beings are extremely powerful, far more so than are the prayers and wishes of most beings. This incredible healing power of these lamas' speech, due to their having purified their speech through mantra recitation, is called Densin Rupa. As you recite mantra mindfully, you can actually feel your whole being resonate with its sacred sound. The result is a deep sense of oneness, as the mind, breath, and the entire body fused with sacred sound of the mantra. By reciting mantra in this way, profound transformation at all levels, particularly at the level of one's mind stream, is assured. Due to its powerful blessings, mantra recitation is widely used as a simple and effective way to calm the mind. And it's one of the profound methods in shamatha, or calm abiding practice. As we recite mantra, our internal dialogue and discursive thoughts ease, leading us in the immediate moment to experience a contented and tranquil state of mind, and ultimately to gain genuine wisdom. Other meditation practices use mantra as a vehicle for obtaining profound realization as well. In Dzogchen, for example, one pronounces the wisdom letter R to dissolve all neurotic thoughts into the state of emptiness or primordial wisdom, which is the fundamental nature of mind. As you begin to recite mantra, you can rest your turbulent mind in its sacred sound, and a sense of ease and blissful simplicity will result. For this reason, great masters of the past have said that the mantra recitation is like the wind that fuels fire-like wisdom burning the nets of sentient beings' ignorance. One method that is commonly taught is to recite a mantra in a cadence of a tune that is neither too loud nor too low, neither too fast nor too slow. In this way, one recites in a relaxed manner without any highly focused concentration, letting the sacred sounds have its natural impact on one's mind. Various other ways of reciting mantras to a specific tune are taught as well, often in the context of chanting an entire sadhana. In this case, one would recite the mantra as directed by the text. One can also recite mantras soundlessly, not to a tune that others can hear, but just silently with the lips and throat. Many Tibetan masters recite mantras in this way. And if you should sleep near them, you may hear the sound of their mala beads clicking against each other as they recite mantras during the night, yet never hear the mantra itself. To recite mentally, that is with the mind only, visualize the mantra garland at the heart level, circling around the mantra sixth syllable at its center. As one recites the mantra, one visualizes its sacred sound radiating in all directions, not limited in its impact to one's own time and space, but permitting all of space in all directions. As the mantra resonates throughout the whole universe, all beings hear its liberating sound. Through the power of this transcendental sound, all beings are liberated from their own particular sufferings and obtain wisdom eyes, empowering them to discern the law of cause and effect. Ultimately, this liberates them from samsara or cyclic existence. Recited in this manner, mantras are called thirul, which means liberation through hearing the sacred sound. In my birthplace of Pemaku, for example, when a person is sick, relatives gather in their home and recite mantras to heal them from the illness. Likewise, when people hear that a bat epidemic is on its way, it's quite common for the whole population to get together and walk along the perimeter of the village, recite mantras in order to prevent the epidemic from entering. For centuries, people have relied on the psychological and physical healing power of mantras. Reciting mantras over those who are dying, so that the sacred sound of the mantra is the last sound they hear as their auditory functions dissolve, can give them a peaceful transition from this life to the next. Reciting mantras for the dead is also a very powerful means to purify whatever negative karma the dying person might have accumulated, and its blessings for them is said to be like grabbing someone who is falling off a cliff by the hand and pulling him to a safety. Another common form of mantra practice is to wear or display mantras. Takdul means liberation through wearing sacred mantras. It is quite popular practice in Tibet to wear a talisman around the neck or a medallion that contains mantras. In addition, prayer wheels, which contains in their cylinders millions of mantras printed on paper, as well as mantra-imprinted prayer flags, are common features of the Tibetan landscape. These physical representations of the mantra not only accumulate great merit for those who build the prayer wheel or hang the prayer flags, but they also gather immense blessings that benefit the whole environment, especially the area in which these virtuous physical representations of the mantras are displayed. Mantra recitation with visualization is the essence of many sadhana practices. In such devotional practice, the mantra garland is visualized at the heart center of oneself as the deity, or at the heart center of the deity in front of or above oneself. Because the teachings and methods of visualizing the mantra garland and the Dhamma activities arising from these differ from sadhana to sadhana, it is best to save such a specific instruction for teachings on the individual texts themselves. However, the The general instruction is that one visualizes infinite light rays radiating from the mantra garland, which purify negative karma, remove obstacles, and produce healing for self and others. Likewise, these light rays are visualized as offerings to infinite Buddhas in order to accumulate merit and abide in the purity of the deity. These are the basic visualizations that are involved in eliciting the power of the mantra. In the same manner, the practitioners visualize themselves as a deity of a particular sadhana. The practice space becomes the pure land of the deity, and all sounds are perceived as the sounds of mantra as the deity's speech. In such practices, place, body, and sounds are all perceived as the nature of pure wisdom. To practitioners who have attained such realization, all mundane perceptions based on the duality of subject and object, thus distorted and impure, are nothing but a display of magical delusion emerging from this unenlightened state of mind. Through these powerful and purely envisioned practices, the dualistic, impure perception of the practitioner, with a tendency to grasp at sounds as interesting or uninteresting, is gradually dissolved, and all sounds are perceived as the sacred sounds of the mantra. At this point, the master's goal of reciting mantra is reached, and for the welfare of all beings, the master accomplishes the four enlightened activities of pacifying, developing, magnetizing, and liberating sentient beings through the power of the mantra. Thus, mantras, their meanings and significance, as well as the manner of their recitations, are many and varied. Just as numerous and varied as the needs of sentient beings and their mental dispositions who gain benefit from them. Mepham Rinpoche said, "With the recognition of the many great blessings of the mantras, first hold them with an unshakable faith. With powerful, undistracted samadhi, recite the mantra according to its instruction for all beings. With powerful perseverance, practice the mantra until you reach the ultimate goal of enlightenment." Om
Oh. Sudo kayo meba wa subo kayo meba wa anurado meba wa sawa siddhi meda yata sawa kama suza me tirtam shiryam guru ha 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 ho banga ven sarva tata gadam benza mame benza benze ba ma samaya sa Om Benza Sato Samaya Manu Palaya Benza Sato Tenoba Dichan Dichu Mebawa Suto Kayo Mebawa Subo Kayo Mebawa Anurado Mebawa Sawa Siddhi Mejayata Sawa Kama Suza Me Chirtam Shriyam Guru Ha 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 ho banga ven sarva tata gadam benza mame benza benze ba ma samaya sato om benza sato samaya manu palaya benza sato tenoba dichan dichu Sudo kayo mebawa, subo kayo mebawa, anurado mebawa, sawa siddhi mejayata, sawa kama suza me chirtam shiryam guru, ha 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 ho banga ven, sarva tata gadam benza mame benza benze ba ma samaya sato. Om Benza Sato Samaya Manu Palaya Benza Sato Tenoba Dichan Dichu Mebawa Suto Kayo Mebawa Subo Kayo Mebawa Anurado Mebawa Sawa Siddhi Mejayata Sawa Kama Suza Me Chirtam Shriyam Guru Ha 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 ho banga ven sarva tata gadam benza mame benza benze ba ma samaya sato om benza sato samaya manu palaya benza sato tenoba dichan dichu Sudo kayo mebawa, subo kayo mebawa, anurado mebawa, sawa siddhi mejayata, sawa kama suza me chirtam shiryam guru, ha 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 ho banga ven, sarva tata gadam benza mame benza benze ba ma samaya sato.